Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Sawubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Grand Rising, and thank you all for joining us on this Thursday morning on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. I'm Naima Latif, your co-host, and we're going to hear some words of wisdom from Dr. Debbie Green as she joins us to talk about dysfunctional behavior, patterns that we keep repeating over and over again. Have you self-evaluated lately? Are you repeating the same dysfunctional behavior again and again? If so, you could be stuck in a negative cycle of thoughts and behavior. It is quite easy to build a habit of defective or dysfunctional thinking, which is called stinking thinking. Are you learning from errors and mistakes you have made? Are you applying it to your present life? It can become very challenging when we are stuck and cannot move. We can't remove the faulty thinking process. What if you're too emotional or impulsive to realize, or that you are realizing that you're living in denial? You will not see the situation you have created. Everyone else can see your behavior errors but you. So join Dr. Debbie Green as we take a closer look at this behavior and learn preventative tips on how to eliminate the cycles of thinking. One sign that you may be stuck in a cycle of the same dysfunctional behavior is if you're blaming everybody else for your problem. It's always somebody else's fault. If you run short of money, it's someone else's fault. If you're having a hard time on the job, it's someone else's fault. If you're in an argument with your spouse, it's someone else's fault. If your children are behaving disruptively and showing disregard for your rules, it's somebody else's fault. We like to place blame so that we can feel better about ourselves when we're going through something. But placing the blame does not fix the problem. The only way to fix the problem is to take responsibility for your role in it. Take responsibility for the choices that you have made that have led you to this point. Take responsibility for your attitude. Take responsibility for the things that you have said and done to people that created the response in them that you may not like. The only way to change a pattern is to recognize it. And too often we are stuck in a pattern of blaming someone else for a situation that we keep creating ourselves. So when we are stuck in blaming other people, we can't see our own dysfunctional pattern. Everyone else can see it but us. And if we find ourselves in relationships that are hurtful, everybody else can see but us what the problem is, whether it's we keep choosing people that don't value us or we keep abusing the people who do value us. Either way, we end up in the same situation that is unsatisfying and hurtful. So how do we get out of it? And how do we recognize it so that we can change what we're doing so that we don't keep experiencing the same painful consequences of our own behavior? This isn't to say that you don't value yourself or you put yourself down. It's to evaluate. And sometimes you have to go back and look at what you may have been influenced by in your childhood. Sometimes what you are responding to is a pattern that has been set for you. If you have a critical parent who raised you, perhaps if you realize that you have been conditioned to always be either defensive or judgmental of yourself and others because of a pattern of having to defend your own self, maybe to avoid punishment or some other painful consequence of being found wrong or lacking by your parents. This could continue on to adulthood, where you're simply not able to recognize or acknowledge when you have made an error because the pattern has been set to protect yourself from pain by always finding fault with someone else and deflecting the punishment to someone else. That's a pattern that could last a lifetime unless you recognize that that's what it is. recognize it, and then strive to change it. What are you fearing will happen if you're admitting that you made a mistake? And you may have gotten yourself into employment at a place where you have a supervisor or a company owner or someone in management who does that same thing to you. They have that same management style that maybe you grew up in, where anybody who was found to be at fault suffered some type of severe punishment or reprimand or humiliation. And so everybody in the office where you work learns to blame everybody else so that they can avoid punishment. They can avoid the fear of losing the job or getting demoted or just being publicly humiliated and called out. Well, this is a very ugly leadership style that we might have experienced in our own homes. So it creates a pattern of not taking responsibility for faults out of fear. But it's a destructive pattern that doesn't help you to improve, because what you need to be able to do is recognize your faults and weaknesses. You need to be able to do that so that you can improve. And this is a necessity, because we're all here to become better people, to grow up, to recognize when we need to change some things, and to not beat ourselves up so much, but to lift ourselves up so that we can be a beacon of light to others. But in order for us to be the person that we desire to be, we have to be able to evaluate and realize when what we have done is hurtful to ourselves and others, is critical for our growth and evolution as a human being. If we're going to become a better person, we have to be able to evaluate where we are in life, and we have to be able to recognize patterns of behavior that are not making us better, but keeping us at the same level of suffering. And it isn't a matter of finding fault with someone else. You can't change someone else's behavior. You can only change your own. So when we change our own behavior, then we can see a difference in the outcomes that we experience in life. Our greatest challenge is being able to render a self-evaluation that is honest and truthful, a self-evaluation that actually gives us a real view of who and what we are. And if we're in the same situation over and over again, rather than us try to find someone upon whom we can fix blame, we've got to choose to find the reason why we keep doing the same thing. Our task is to discover what it is we are doing. So now we're going to join Dr. Debbie Green, and here are some words of wisdom as we talk about ending the cycle of dysfunctional behavior.
Okay.
right, so now we are here with Dr. Debbie Green on Soulful Solutions. And if you want to join us on Facebook, go to Facebook and go to Soulful Solutions. And you will see the beautiful face of Dr. Debbie Green. And you'll see my big smile.
Grand rising. Oh, wow. Beautiful day here in Atlanta, Georgia. I don't know if it's chilly up there.
It's a little chilly up there. Yes, we're getting a little bit of chilly weather now, yes.
Yes, I know, in Chi-Town, it's getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Well, I was talking about, actually, before you got on, just, you know, how we, you know, should learn from our life lessons, because
yes.
Life is a lesson in progress. Regardless, you should learn from everything, from the food you eat to the clothes you wear to the people you encounter daily to fair relationships. I mean, the list goes on. You know, and then if you learn from them, are you applying them? And so sometimes we know we're, you know, cycling and things, but we don't often apply what we've learned. So I think that is a, you know, a very important thing to do that. But first of all, let me ask you, Naima, how are you today?
I am fantastic.
I didn't look at you. Y'all should see the beautiful smiles. I love your smile.
Oh,
absolutely.
Yes. Joy in my heart.
That's it. Okay, well, we got a pretty interesting topic today. We're talking about definitely life lessons and life negative cycling, because this verse is life negative cycling. Because again, most people, you know, they go through this thing called life, but they don't often understand the intrinsic areas that we have to pay extreme attention to.
Right.
Because those things mold us, you know, as we have core beliefs when we grew up, when we're a child, whatever, however we were raised, and then we go into the young adulthood, and here we go, now we're dead smack. And like, you start living and start learning when you come out of the womb, okay?
Yes.
Immediately. No, you know, it's not when you're 3, 4, 5 years old, your mom say, don't touch that. No. You start learning when you come out of the womb. The very first thing, you take that first breath, oh, goodness, this is air. What is this? What am I supposed to do with these lungs? Okay, I'm supposed to breathe, you know? I mean, it's, you know, your learning capacity supersedes your life. You have no idea. It supersedes your life, you know? And the thing about it is, you know, what causes the negative cycling in the human mind, you know, the things that people, you know, find themselves doing as habits, and not just addictive habits, but habits of dysfunction, how you respond, your cognitive distortion, you know, your producers of stress. When you know you're stressed and you keep doing the same thing over and over to keep yourself stressed, okay, what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
You know,
that's an issue.
Yes. Well, you know, one of the things we looked at is what people are responding to. As you say, you start learning from the moment you come out of the womb. So what are the things in your surroundings that you are responding to? You might have a parent who is constantly reprimanding you, accusing you. And if you are living in a household, maybe you're in a household with siblings where if something happens and, you know, you have a parent who says, well, who did that? And whoever is found guilty gets punished. Well, you learn early to deflect punishment by blaming someone else.
Mm-hmm.
So that becomes a pattern of behavior, not taking responsibility to avoid punishment. It becomes a pattern of behavior to be defensive, which means you never evaluate yourself when you're always trying to figure out how to deflect punishment or blame or attack. And this becomes a pattern because it was started early in life, knowing that you had to keep from getting punished by blaming someone else if there was anger from an authority figure. We find ourselves doing the same thing on jobs, you know, and many people are in employment and companies where if an employee is found to have made an error, then they could get fired or publicly reprimanded and humiliated and all of those things. So something goes wrong and everybody's looking to blame someone else.
Right.
Rather than take blame because the consequences are something unpleasant. Fired, demoted, humiliated, all these things. So we go through life trying to avoid the consequences of mistakes. And because we live in such a punitive society where instead of the intention of those who are guiding you or in authority over you or supposed to be teaching you, instead of them lovingly correcting your mistake, you are punished for your mistake, so you never learn how to admit a mistake. You only learn to avoid taking responsibility for a mistake in order to avoid punishment. And that's how we get stuck in that pattern of dysfunctional behavior, because we're always operating out of fear.
Correct. Correct. Absolutely. One thing about negative cycling, it is all formulated by fear, as you said. The fear of the unknown, the fear of uncertainty, the fear of change.
Yeah.
So, you know, and we find ourselves, either we're going to avoid, deny, or, you know, or detach from it. We would like to detach from it, but we're afraid to detach from it because we don't know what the next move is going to be.
Yeah.
So you find yourself not wanting to take any steps in life of risk-taking, you know, because life is risk-taking. You know, it's one of those things. It's not the excessive risk-taking, but you have to do things in a healthy manner. You know, healthy mindset will produce a healthy mindset.
Right.
A dysfunctional mindset can only produce a dysfunctional mindset.
Absolutely.
So when you're looking at something as irrational and you're expecting something to be rational, no, it's not going to be. It's just going to be irrational.
Right.
So, you know, we compare ourselves to so many different things, Raima. You know, as we grew up, we compare ourselves to little, you know, our peers, and then we go from peers comparing ourselves to what society says we are.
Yeah.
You know, and not realizing, well, who are you anyway? Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are?
Who do you think you are? Exactly. You know, because the identity is extremely important in your life lesson.
Yeah.
Because if you don't know who you are, then you're going to continue to repeat the same dysfunction.
Yes.
Because you don't, and this thing called self-love has to be in place. So if you learn about yourself, okay, if you know that you're doing an action that is defective, okay, and you keep doing that action over and over again, all right, so you need to ask the question, okay, why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this?
You know, question yourself, what's causing me to do this?
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't want to shift blame. We don't want to shift blame.
Yeah.
Shift blame is just what it is. It's called displaced anger, just
yeah.
so you know.
Yeah.
Okay? That means that, I'm doing it because you said this, and you say, okay.
You made me do this.
You made me do this.
But no
because
one controls
the thing
your
about
emotions.
We get so frustrated sometimes that we will make a move like that, and it's okay. It's because it's a part of our human culture as well as our human capacity mentally to want to get out of a situation without thinking. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's a normal thing, you know, because if you're in your emotional mind is going to cause you to be, and you will act and behave impulsively.
Absolutely.
So what is that going to happen? All right, here come life changes, but it ain't going to be the change you want, you know, because you're not taking time to think with this frontal lobe. The frontal lobe is our executive functioning, people, all right? It's not even developed until you're 24, 25. Your frontal lobe. You know, you have this soft spot in baby's head. Remember when they used to have the
soft spot
right in the
right
middle
there
of the
on
head.
The top of the head, right? Well, it's right there in the middle because that part of the brain, you know what I'm saying, the sheath with the parts of the brain that cover the brain have not even developed yet because that area of the brain is not developed. That doesn't close up until you're 3 or 4, sometimes 5 years old, you know? So what am I saying to you? You know, things happen, you know, that cause things to happen, but you just, again, you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful of where you are and what you're doing. If you're mindful, then that's when things can really, you know, start changing for the best. You know, there's no perfect life. We cannot live a perfect life. And some people are trying. Some people try. Oh, they try so hard. I got to have a perfect child. I got to have a perfect job. No matter what you do, something is bound to be imperfect because that's the way it is.
And that the purpose of this life is for you to learn from the imperfections. So the perfect life is a life in which you're learning from your experience. But then if you keep repeating the same cycle, that means you're not learning. So
Correct. You
didn't get the benefit of whatever it was that happened that would make you understand how to do things differently. And
Exactly. So
many people are stuck on blaming other people for their circumstances. You know, I overdrew my bank account because somebody else did something. Or I was late for work because somebody else did something. Or, you know, I flunked this test because somebody else did something. There's always somebody else. Well, this person distracted me. Or this person got in my way. Or this person made me forget something. This person, you know, always someone else instead of us taking responsibility for the choices that we've made, for the attention we gave something or didn't give to it, our own lack of forethought, we get stuck in blaming someone else instead of looking at ourselves and our patterns of behavior and taking responsibility for whatever it is we're experiencing. The most empowering thing you can do is say, what did I do that created this situation? What choices did I make? Even if you're in a bad relationship with someone, the thought isn't, well, how come I'm not good enough or how come he doesn't love me? No, what am I doing? If I am choosing to respond to someone's bad behavior in a way that indicates that I am not willing to either remove myself from being abused or speak up for myself or change the dynamics of how we're responding. Perhaps we're always arguing. Well, maybe this person says some ridiculous thing, and then I have to keep responding back until I win the argument, when in fact, maybe the best thing to do is just keep quiet, let them rage, and not let it affect you. But whatever choice you're making, if you find yourself in the same pattern of dysfunction, make a different choice.
Mm-hmm.
Make a different choice. And then, you know, it's interesting. I've known people who've had Alzheimer's. And it's like their mind is a tape that rewinds.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember I had an older associate who had Alzheimer's, and I would go and visit her. And she was kind of stuck on the same conversation. You know, she was talking about things that happened in her life and her siblings and her nieces and nephews and everything. And she would have that same conversation all the time. And so I thought, I wonder what happens if I change what I say. Will that change the response that she makes? And then maybe, you know, she'll play a different tape in her mind. So I would change my response sometimes, and then she would talk for something else for a while, and then she'd go right back to where she had been and repeat that same conversation over and over again. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. It's like her mind is stuck there. Even if I divert her attention, her mind is stuck there. And mm-hmm. and that's how people are when they are stuck in the same pattern of behavior, where you keep recreating the same situation. You keep picking the same kind of person in your life and having the same experience. Your mind is stuck somewhere. And it's like you keep rewinding that same tape and playing it over and over again. Even if somebody tries to change where they fast forward the tape, start at a different place, you still somewhere rewind it and do the same thing over and over again. So you got to figure out, where are you stuck? because you keep repeating the same thing over and over again.
Exactly, exactly. And dysfunctions are real. They are very real. How our mind, our cognitive ability actually continues to repeat the same patterns. And, again, these things are called habits, okay? The subconscious mind is, it doesn't have a rationale to realize, oh, I've done that 17 times.
Yes.
It always turned out the same way. Exactly. You know, but consciously, you're like, this just keeps happening to me. You know? Oh, okay, it's happening for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
It's because of the way you're looking at life, the way you're handling life, the way you're responding to life, that's the reason why it's happening. So as we continue to change that, we have to do it day by day, moment by moment, until it's done.
Until it's done, absolutely. Well, we've got to take a break, and if you're on our switchboard now and you have a thought you'd like to share, press 1. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. If you're listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1. That lights your number up on our switchboard. We'll open your mic and get your thoughts. And if you're on our Facebook Live page of Soulful Solutions, just write in your comments, and we'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And we will be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment, 515-605-9325, and press 1 to speak.
Taxes are higher than ever. Every day, thousands of our residents leave Chicago to shop in Indiana. Jobs are being lost, and businesses are relocating. Let's find a way to lower our taxes to encourage residents to continue living and shopping in our city. Let's rebuild. Let's restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of the city of Chicago, and I will work hard to find solutions that matter. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for Mayor.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Life lessons versus life negative cycling. Are you learning from your mistakes, or are you repeating them? And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference because the stressors of life can only get worse when we're not learning from our mistakes. It's one of those things that no matter what you do, you know, life got a way of getting your attention, but are you listening? Are you aware? You know, I mean, what does it have to do? Does it have to slam you down?
Now, I have
on your door really hard.
I have a friend who, a male friend who was complaining the other day about his female companions, that he keeps getting in relationships with women who ultimately end up using him. And he was saying, what is that? Do they learn how to be gold diggers or what? You know, and so we had a conversation about the pattern that he follows. And he feels like the first thing he should do is try to impress them, you know, take them out on an expensive date, pay a lot of money and that sort of thing so that they know that he's financially secure. And, you know, he feels like he's, you know, attractive enough or whatever the case may be. But he says, you know, I always end up with these women, they end up borrowing money from me and not paying it back or get me to pay their bills or, you know, next thing you know, I'm buying stuff for their children, and, you know, all these women just end up using me. And so I'm thinking, okay, what is it that makes you keep going above and beyond a male companion on a date and allowing people to request things of you that, based on the nature of your relationship, they haven't earned the right to ask? You know, if you're dating someone and they want to borrow $500, what is the nature of your relationship that would make you think that you should say yes? You know, if you keep doing this, if you keep extending to people that which they have not earned the right to ask for, then you're asking yourself to be used, because it's you that's making decisions that are inappropriate. And they merely take advantage of the fact that you don't know how to say no because you're trying to impress them. But you're not understanding that a relationship is something that's based on time, trust, understanding, a mutually shared definition of what you mean to each other. And if you don't have any of that, then why are you giving somebody $500 that you don't half know? And then you're mad because she didn't give it back to you. Or you mad because you found out she was dating somebody else. Or, you know, you mad because you found out that she lied. I mean, why are you trusting people like that? And you have not built a real relationship. So what would you say about a pattern like that where his perception is these women are just gold diggers who are using a man like me that has the means to pay things for them. They're just using me. How come I can't find any good women? What would you say to a person who keeps following that pattern and seeing it as being someone else who's in the wrong?
Well, that person is looking for love in all the wrong places.
Trying to buy love.
Because they grew up not having to be nurtured. Usually a person that is seeking a comfort of validation in another human being of some sort did not have the comfort of nurturing from a mother. And that's as a male grows up, that's what they do. They either be very promiscuous, or again, but females are, you know, thinking that they're not worthy, then, you know, they're not, you know, worthy of their time, and they use them, or they allow themselves to be used when it comes to the female complex of things. So, you know, the only thing that has to happen where it would just be very conducive for him to really find out exactly what he really wants out of himself first before looking and trying to get that that relationship of companionship and weigh that, weigh out what he wants and then look at the companionship first, not the relationship. Because a lot of times what we do, again, we get involved in relationships and we repeat the same patterns, thinking, oh, here's another one, and let me try this with this one. Oh, here's another one. And they all keep doing the same things due to the fact because of something that's going on inside of you. It's not them.
Mm-hmm.
It's inside of you. So, you know, these error-related negative patterns, because that's what they are, the error-related negative patterns are where people are constantly repeating these same constant relationships, dealing with relationships, even dealing with careers. You know, I'm going on this job, knowing this job is not really the job I really want to go on, but are really want to take a, you know, take a part of, but I'm doing it anyway. And then when I get on the job, oh, I don't like it. So I end up moving and going somewhere else. You see what I'm saying? So I didn't learn from the last three jobs that was the same type of job.
Mm-hmm.
So that means, you know, in other words, we constantly cycle in that. And, but the question is, Naima, how many times do we have to cycle in something before we realize that it
that it's
us. To be done.
It's not other people need to change. We need to change how we're making decisions. And
yeah,
what's
I mean, how many times, I've, you know, in my field of study and, you know, dealing with clients, I've noticed I can, when I do a life cycle analysis, when taking them back in time from the time they're children and looking at the behavior and the actions of them, you know, from their environment. And I can see the cycling all over. And then whatever you start with, you continue to cycle. You keep doing the same things over and over again. And then once they realize, you mean tell me this is the reason why I was doing it because of this? Yes.
Mm.
And once you come to yourself, okay, you actually know, okay, this is what's causing me to think the way I think. You see what I'm saying? And it's not causing me to do what I'm doing. It's causing me to think the way I'm thinking.
Yeah, everything starts with a thought.
You see what I'm saying? So then, you know, a thought creates a feeling, and a feeling creates an action.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, like your friend, all right, he needs to ask himself, okay, let me love myself a little more so that I can really see the biggest scope of things of what's really going on because I can't seem to find a mate, you know, because I'm looking at them from what platform of you. Because they're pretty, because they're smart, or whatever. You see what I'm saying? But then there's something inside of me that starts off pretty good, but then it takes another turn. So he has to do some soul searching.
Yes, absolutely.
And let him know if he needs a counselor. Debbie Green is always available.
Absolutely. So give a contact number for those who are listening and hearing themselves and know they need some help. How do they contact Dr. Debbie Green to get that personal counseling session? Because, I mean, it's only so much we can tell you during a show.
Right.
Because most things, you know, they go way back. You got to find the root of this. And so you need your own personal session. So we definitely want to make sure that you get what you need for help. You know, I have a female friend with a son, and I don't want to blame her, but I think that maybe she should analyze how this happened. She's got a son who's a teenager,
mm-hmm.
and is attractive to the young females. And is highly promiscuous. So my friend says, you know, these girls, they just won't leave him alone. You know, he's just a heartbreaker. And every weekend he's got another woman. And I tell him, you can't be having these girls up in your bedroom. And, you know, he just, you know, because I work and I can't, you know, she's a single mother. I work and I can't keep an eye on him. But, you know, these fast girls would just leave him alone. And so he's in high school, already has fathered two children. And, you know, the mother, from different girls, and the mother, you know, she said, yeah, these girls, they don't have any kind of self-pride, they don't have any kind of self-respect, and they just chasing after him. What's wrong with these girls? They're just so aggressive. And so I'm listening to her, and, her son's promiscuity, she is blaming on the lack of moral standings or behavior of the women, and, you know, the young girls being so aggressive and, you know, so promiscuous, and so now her son, who's got a different girl every week, it's not his fault because he's attractive, so that's what happens, right? So it's them. And I listen to that, and I'm thinking, as a mother, is there something that she should be giving her son in terms of a message that would stop him from doing what he's doing? Because these are somebody's daughters, and he's fathered two children, teenage girls, and, you know, their life is totally different because, you know, he doesn't have a job. And they went through all kind of drama in that process, and he's got, you know, two girls, both of them got babies almost the same age, and all of that. What is the responsibility of a mother in that situation, and what might have been the trigger that was created by the mother when the son, who's raised only by the mother, displays so little regard for females? What is your assessment? I'm sure you probably see that situation all the time. What is your assessment
actually,
of that?
We just talked about it. Remember that either he is not going to value women, he'll be promiscuous, you know, or do the opposite. You know what I'm saying? The opposite is, you know, in some cases, they even develop a homosexual lifestyle. Mm. So but the father figure is not present.
Right.
So it's not that a mother cannot teach a male child how to treat a woman, because if this young man, she's looking at it from the point of view of the females coming to him, but he's allowing that. That's his MO. He is the one that's the womanizer at, you know, 17, how old he is. He's fathering children, so he's not practicing safe sex, first of all. He's not valuing himself because he's giving himself out very freely, you know. And, you know, males will look different than females because a female was doing that, oh, she will be a garden tool, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
You
know, and that's what his mother called the girls.
Yeah, because she's not looking at the truth. She's looking at it one-sided.
Yeah.
She's not looking at it. He is...
I like that, a garden tool. I got to remember that one.
That's a nice way of saying it. The thing of... Because, again, he doesn't have a father figure that says, son, you know, don't treat women like that.
Yeah.
Don't just go around sleeping with people.
Yeah, these are human beings. How do you like somebody did you like that? You know, one week, these ain't nothing but some garden tools, you know.
Yes, that's the way, and that is because his mother, if his mother reared him, she didn't tell him that. And she didn't teach him life lessons.
Yeah.
Now, the question is, why? Why did she not teach him that? And where is his father?
Did his father
have an infidelity
relationship? Yeah, that was the reason for their breakup.
Okay.
And,
right.
You know, she's one of those.
And that's how she looked at the woman that is involved with him the same way.
Yeah.
I guarantee you.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
The same way she looks at that woman that's involved with her ex-husband,
mm-hmm.
or husband, or whatever the case
mm-hmm.
may be.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Her
so
ex, yeah.
When the son is just following suit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he's doing.
Yeah.
He's just following what they lead by example.
Yeah.
And parents have to realize, however you lead your life, whether you are in a heterosexual relationship, you're married or not married, and you're giving birth to children, those children are watching you.
So how
every single day. They're watching,
and they're learning from you.
They're
learning. So how does a mother, and I see this pattern over and over and over again, angry mothers who don't want the fathers in the lives of their sons, and they say, well, I don't want you to turn out like your father, But the absence of the father does not give a positive direction for the son. And so all of these behaviors that the mother said, you know, he's just like his father or whatever it was she was trying to avoid, he didn't end up getting any good qualities from his father either, because the mother doesn't want the son around the father because she's angry at him because he got involved in another relationship. So her punitive action and keeping her sons and daughters away from their father because she's angry because, oh, he cheated on me. So now they don't get the balance. They don't get whatever good qualities their father could have given them. They don't get whatever reinforcement of self-esteem they could have gotten. So the children end up in these misshapen relationships. How does a mother by herself, an example that she set was, well, you know, if a man does you wrong, throw him out or whatever, or, you know, how does she teach self-love to children in that circumstance? How does she demonstrate it?
Again, she has to lead by example. You know, a strong woman will always let the truth guide her, okay? Even just be honest with the children. You know, your father and I don't see eye to eye anymore. It's not that we don't care about each other. We have to depart. You know, don't bash the other party, even though however they exit, you know, but don't bash them, you know, because when you bash them in front of children, you cause the child to think irregularly about that person, or you can also cause them to turn against you, because if they were really close to that other party, then they're going to like, well, why are you talking about my daddy, or why are you talking about my mother, you know what I'm saying? You know, I love her. Don't talk about her like that. And so it causes major division between families when that happens. If there is a discontinued a relationship, it should be, I think, that the parties should talk with their children, both together. And if they don't see eye to eye, somebody has to come and tell the children the truth.
Yeah.
Instead of just letting them watch what happened, they need to know what happens. And unfortunately, in divorces, I would say at least 7 out of 10, they don't do that.
Yeah.
They just divorce each other, and the kids realize, oh, mommy ain't here anymore, daddy's gone, you know. And so they're left just trying to deal with the situation, you know, and they don't know how to, because remember, their rational, reasonable, logical mind can't understand grown-up stuff.
Yeah.
If they're children, all they know is that person is no longer here,
yeah.
And it appears as though that person abandoned them.
That's what it feels
because
like.
Because no one explained
what happened.
Nobody let someone know that we were no longer a couple. We are no longer, you know, together because. And let them say what they have to say. I think, you know, half of the time, Naima, that will prevent a lot of anxiety and depression, even mental illness in children, because I see a lot of the families are suffering from divorce, and their children then really take it so hard to the point where some of them bring themselves, some of them because they start self-defeating, self-sabotaging, or even, you know, going into SI, which is suicide ideation. Oh, I don't want to live any longer. I don't want to be in this family. Some of them run away.
Mm-hmm.
We know them to run away from families as well, you know. So that's why it's so very important that you explain what is going on. I mean, you have to tell them everything, but tell them something. Tell them the truth of the matter and let them be the predeterminer of how they want to handle it and listen to what they have to say.
Mm-hmm.
And it may not always come out real nice. You know, you say, well, why are you disrespecting me? Well, that person is angry. If they're angry because of what has happened, okay, listen. It's better that you listen to your children in a situation like that than to allow them to stuff their feelings and go tell it to a stranger, tell somebody else, you know, and then cause major issues. And these are, again, life lessons. These are life lessons that we need to take in consideration that our actions can affect another human being.
Yes. You know, I had a student whose parents were going through divorce, and, you know, they came and talked to me. It's because I was an adult that they had grown to trust. and they were trying to figure out, because they were very, very angry, very angry. And it was a situation, you know, an infidelity situation. You know, mother discovered that the father was having a relationship with someone else, so they divorced. And, you know, and this was a person at that very tender age, 13, you know, you're going into puberty and all of that. And so she was a very angry young girl, was starting to become promiscuous herself, and I could see the dynamics of the household that was creating her behavior. And she was, you know, and so she was telling me about her parents and their divorce, and, you know, my father got a girlfriend, and he's a younger, you know, she's a younger woman, and my mother's mad, and, you know, and she's like, you know, who should I be mad at? Whose fault was that? You know, and I tried to explain to her that in situations like this, there is no fault, and only the two people involved understand what happened that caused them to grow apart. But her challenge is going to be to continue to love both of them, because she's not responsible for what happened in their relationship. And both of them have their own reasons for their behavior, but it's going to be hard for her because her mother wants her to share the anger. You know, we're mad at your father. He did us wrong. And I was trying to help her through the process of not taking on her mother's anger and, you know, being angry at her father, because her father, he, of course, doesn't want to come around the family and deal with the venom from the mother, so that means he gradually stopped coming around the daughter. And she loved her father, but then, you know, the mother's giving the story of, yeah, he did us wrong, and he's over there with that woman, and, you know, I don't want him in my house, and, you know, all of that. And, I mean, they're going through the financial difficulties of what happens when couples break up and, you know, the person's not there and suing for the child support and all, he don't want to pay us no money and he can't come if he ain't got your money, you know, all that kind of stuff. So she's in the middle of all that. And then, of course, at the age of 13, starting the promiscuity, and I'm seeing, okay, I'm getting ready to see a pattern. She's going to end up pregnant before she even gets in high school because of this emotional thing. How do you stop a train wreck? You know, when you see what's about to happen because of all the dynamics of the adults, how do you counsel a young person in that situation?
Well, I'm so glad that you are mentoring her, because she needs to release a lot of suppressed emotions behind all those dynamics you're talking about. The goal is, again, lead her back to herself, lead her back to her ability to understand her value, understand her worthiness, lead her back to her own self-identity, her own self-independence. And when you tell her, okay, this is what's going on, this is what mommy and daddy are doing, but what I need you to do is focus on yourself, because that's grown-up stuff, okay? Mm. Grown-up stuff does not need to be in a child's mind. Yes, it may affect you, but it doesn't need to be in your mind. Right now, you need to concentrate on your schoolwork. You need to, always redirect her back to herself. And as you do that, what's going to happen is once she gets a good pattern of that, even when she sees things that she doesn't like between both individuals, both parties, she's like, you know what? That's not my business.
Yeah.
And she's going to move on.
Yeah.
She's going to move on and not take it personally. Because when she takes it personally, that's when she gets distracted and she gets emotional, and then she'll start looking for love in all the wrong places. She'll fall in the hands of someone that is, you know, sees her vulnerability and then tries to take it, you know, and use it in some way. But if you lead her back to herself, she'll protect herself. That's what she'll do.
Yeah, it's kind of a hard thing when you see a young person and you realize they have to be responsible for their own emotional stability, mm-hmm. because the adults in their lives are emotionally not there for them. They're focused on their own anger toward each other, and they can't they can't see how it's tearing apart their child or destabilizing the child's own sense of self-worth. And, you know, it's challenging when you see someone going through that because, you know, at 13, how much maturity do you have? So it's almost like a child has to grow up immediately when the adults are embroiled in their own problems and can't offer the emotional support that they need, you know, because that's what divorce does. It creates such a havoc because both adults are dysfunctional at that point.
Right.
And, you know, she's at that stage where she's defining her womanhood, and her mother's too full of anger to help her define it in a healthy way.
Exactly. That's why you have to lead her back to independence. Well, after our break, Naima, I want to give some tips on how to reverse the negative cycling and to notice the symptoms so that one can definitely take consideration and change.
Absolutely. And if you're on our switchboard now and have a question or comment you'd like to share on this topic, we love y'all, but on this topic, then press 1. And if you are listening online and want to join this conversation, give us a call, 515-605-9325, and press 1, and we'll open your mic and get your thoughts. We'll be right back after this quick break, so stay with us.
What if you could live to be 120 years old and remain active, healthy, alert, and vibrant? Our bodies are made up of cells that are constantly rejuvenating. So if we take proper care of ourselves, we can literally defy aging. Join us every Tuesday from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time to learn about self-care from Susan Essentials on the Female Solution Blog Talk Radio Show. Learn how to help your body and your cells feel rejuvenated each day through proper nutrition, sleep, frequency medicine, and many unconventional methods of self-care. I'm Jody Susan. Join me and my amazing guests by calling in at 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak. We'll help you achieve a breakthrough in your health today.
Crime in Chicago continues to increase. Communities and politicians must come together to make a change. No one person can solve these problems by themselves, but I believe together we can make progress. Let's provide job training, economic growth, and invest into our 77 communities. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Solutions. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And again, our topic is life lessons versus life negative cycling. Are you learning from your mistakes or are you repeating them? Okay. So I wanted to give some tips, you know, to have, you know, presence over this because, again, negative cycling can cause so much issues in your life, and you will be totally miserable, actually. If you're cycling negatively, if you often ask this question, why does this keep happening to me? Why are they doing this to me? You know, if you ever feel victimized in your life, there's a good chance that you're cycling negatively. I'm not saying that something did not happen to you. I'm not saying that you're not experiencing things. But what I'm saying is that it's the way you are responding or reacting to life events that's causing you to repeat the cycles. If you change the way you react or respond, then the cycling has to end or change into another cycle. And we would hope that will be a healthy cycle. So the first thing I want to go into is being mindful of your actions, being mindful of your thoughts and your feelings. And what does that mean? That means self-monitor. You know, you should often ask, okay, what am I doing? you know, why am I saying this? You know, I mean, and look at yourself. Don't always allow your external to be your predetermined factor of what's going on in your life. No, it's what's going on inside of you. Whatever's going on inside of you, please understand you will attract. If it's fear inside of you, you're going to attract things to keep you in fear. If it's anger inside of you, you're going to attract things to keep you angry. If it's sadness, if it's remorse, if it's guilt, all of those things because we are magnets in the universe. So we have to be very careful of how we speak, but also how we act. Your behavior and your actions, they will line up with your thoughts very quickly. No, they're not going to be different. You know, some people say, I say one thing and I do another. That's indecision, okay? That's what that is. That means that person has an imbalance in their mind, in their heart, in their spirit, and they are not what they call pulled together and walking in unison. So what am I saying to you? If we are mindful of our actions, people, then we can see the truth in our own lives, you know, and not look at it to blame anyone else, but only blame ourselves. And not to feel guilty. Now, that's not the kind of blame I'm talking about. Blame is something that makes you aware that something needs to be changed. It's not something that breaks you down, just as anger is. It's something aware, which is emotion, that lets you know that something needs to end because it's already taken you to a whole nother level. You get angry, you get irritable, you get agitated, you get frustrated before you get angry. And if you stay in the anger, you're going to constantly do cycling of anger. Everything is going to get you upset. It's going to trigger you. That's not going your way. Now, remember, if it's not going your way, you feel you don't have control of it, all right? And so you get angry, and then you start doing that same thing that you was doing before. You can't do that this time. I'm so sorry. It's not an option for you to keep doing the same things over and over again when you know you're not getting the result that you need. Stop. Stop, look, and listen. But most of all, listen to your heart. Your heart is telling you. It has emotional intelligence. It's telling you that you're in the wrong actions and the wrong behaviors. But most of all, it's telling you what you need to change. You know? And again, we can't be afraid of the uncertainty because whatever's going to happen is going to happen. That's out of your hands. You can't control anything on the outside. You can even people. You can't control people. You know, I wish we can influence, we might can guide, we might can direct only if they allow, but otherwise, no, we don't have that type of power. The one power that that you do have is those self-powers that you possess, your self-resilience, your self-control, your self-discipline, your self-purpose, your self-choice, your self-decision. These are the things that you need to activate to its highest level so you can see your dysfunctions, you know, so your life would be pleasant, not perfect, because believe me, every life has its own woe, okay? But at the same token, unnecessary suffering, no, that's not acceptable. We don't want to suffer unnecessarily by your actions, by your means. And then if you're in denial, oh, this is not me. It's not happening to me. Well, it is. It is happening. You know, our goal is to do something different for what happens. And all about, it's two things to respond. It's two things to react. Two things. I mean, your mind and your heart is going to respond, and your mind and your heart is going to act. So that's how God, that's how God created us. He created us to look at life, you know, beyond the bigger picture. Instead of looking in this little small tunnel vision of a thing, you know, oh, this won't ever change. I'm going to keep doing this. It's not going to change because you're not changing it. You are not changing. You have to be the change in your life so that you can see the truth in it. And let the truth lead you. Let it lead you. But we don't want the truth, you know. We don't want the truth. We want to live this glorious life, but then we don't want to live it in truth. Why is that? Why, you know, why must we think we have to suffer over and over and over and over again? You don't have to do anything. Let go of those people that you know are dysfunctional. Get out of that job that you know that's tearing you down. Let go of family members that may not be healthy to you. I'm not telling you not to love them, but give yourself space from them. These are the situations of life, people. And until we take control of our own selves, nothing will ever change. It will continue to stay the same. And I would hate that for you because, again, the worst thing in the world, as one of my clients years ago told me, he was 89 years old. And he said, Debbie, dying doesn't bother me. He said, walk around dying inside. Now that bothers me.
Wow. Walking around
I've never
dying
forgot
inside.
That statement.
That,
I never
that,
forgot
that.
That
is.
Isn't that deep?
That's a deep thing to think. And how many people are walking around dying inside? We're not here to suffer. If you're suffering through life, it's time to change some decisions. I have known people that they seem like they're dying inside.
Never happy.
There's a friend who has chosen to stay in a marriage that is deeply unhappy and emotionally abusive, but they have a nice house that they bought. And her belief is that she doesn't have the means to take care of herself because she's always been the housewife. He's always been the person who provided. It's almost like I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Was it Diary of a Mad Housewife? Diary of a Mad Black Woman. That's what it was. By Tyler Perry. And so, you know, you got material possessions. You have a nice house, but this person is mean to you. They're mean to you in front of your children. You feel angry and ashamed, but too afraid to change anything. So what she does is basically just take the verbal abuse, and then eventually she'll start crying, and then he'll stop. But I'm thinking, so you have to take abuse until you finally start crying, and that gives him some type of sympathy or whatever. Anyway, that's the only thing that makes him stop verbally abusing you and making you feel like garbage and you walk around depressed. But you're choosing to stay in that situation, and she doesn't see a way out because to outside appearances, oh, you've got this nice, successful husband, this nice home. What do you have to complain about? So she keeps her misery inside, but it's like it's killing her. I mean, I'm seeing her age. You know, we're the same age. She looks about 20 years older than me. And I know it's from dying inside. So how do you help someone who is choosing to die because they're afraid to make a different choice?
Again, we go back to self-love, neighbor.
Mm.
If that person loved themselves, they would not allow it, no house, no home, no car, no jewels, no fur coat would do it.
Mm.
Because they are willing to step up and move on. And move away from that situation. And then they say, you know what, I can buy my own house. I can buy my own juice. But I will not allow myself to stay in a dysfunctional life when I know I'm suffering. You know? And, you know, again, this is habits. People are addicted to unhappiness. They're literally addicted because these are what negative cycles are. You know, you find yourself in this place and you've been there for like whatever many years and you're like, oh, How did I stay this way? You know, I have a client right now. I said, you know, she's living in a $900,000 home. Her husband, they've been married for like 40-something years. And she is just so unhappy.
Mm.
She's so unhappy because she had to seek therapy. You know, her grandchildren, she has family. But it's like everybody just pushes everything on her because her husband doesn't want to do anything. He just wants to be the breadwinner.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to raise the kids. He never did. And, you know, she finally found out in her latter part of her life that this is how she was living her life for years and years and years, just compromising with this dysfunction. And so repeating the same cycles has now brought her to an emotional car wreck, I mean train wreck.
Mm.
So now she doesn't even, I mean, sleeping, eating, everything has become a chore, you know, because the body cannot take anymore. You know, one thing about the way our systems are, and let me go there for a minute, the way our systems are made, we were not designed to take on excessive pressure,
yeah.
Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, no type of way, physically. And what we do, we make these decisions without making a decision, if you know what I mean. It's like, you know, you're just allowing. You're not blocking. You're not looking at it from any other point of view. You've got a tunnel vision. Oh, this is my life. This is what I've been dealt with. You know what I'm saying? I guess I'll never have love. I'll never feel love. I'll never do this. And then you finally, you know, you just finally fold in, that's what I call it, fold in into that rabbit hole, and then, you know, you're just walking around feeling empty. One of our viewers on Facebook, Dr. Evil, look at Woosley. Dr. Evil Woosley.
All right now. Oh, I like that hat. Hey.
This is what she said. That's when your choice, that's when you choose you.
Oh, that's when you choose you. Oh, yes.
That's when you choose you, yet that journey is a process. However, turning over to God allows process to take place. Pain is a form of progression.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, it should be. It should motivate you to do something. You just like it when your body is hurting, you know you got to do something to relieve the pain. You don't just stay in the pain. You want it to stop. So same thing with emotional pain. It's a motivation for you to do something so the pain will stop. Unfortunately,
people get comfortable with the emotional
pain.
They
get comfortable with emotional pain.
I spoke to clients and they told me, I said, well, why are you in this when you know you don't need to be?
Yeah.
Because I'm comfortable being here. I know this pain.
Yeah.
I'm used to this pain.
Right. I
so
fear
if I
something.
Move, I don't know if there's going to be more pain.
Yes. That's
and
what
I say, well. So let me get this on. And I parent them. I repeat the same thing. I said, so let me get this understood. You would prefer to stay in pain when there's a chance that you can be without pain, but you're afraid that you're going to have more pain?
Mm. That's what the choice is.
Exactly. They just say, like, you know, feeling chained and bound to the same things over and over again.
Right.
So now, you know, those chains around your hands, your mouth, your heart, your spirit. Okay, you got to break free. All you got to do is make a choice to go the other direction. Don't be so concerned about what the outcome is going to be. We always want to know what's on the other end of the road or what's down the road before I do this. Let me see that. No, you're not going to see everything. It's called self-faith. And faith is given to us as a gift from God. Mm-hmm. And as we take that risk-taking, because that's what it is, you know, to step out and say, you know, okay, all right, so what part is I'm not getting?
Mm-hmm.
You know, question the self, because the self has to be questioned.
Wow.
You know, every day we open our eyes, we have this thing called life. And life is saying, here's your lesson. Here's your lesson and your instructions for eternity. That's what life means. Lessons, instructions for eternity. Eternity is from the time you are born to the time you exit into that other spiritual womb.
Because
that's when you're going from your naked, when you wasn't seen with your naked eye in one womb until you developed, come through this world, and you're going back the same way you can. Because guess what? Your body can't go where the spirit can go.
That's right. That's right.
Okay, so what am I saying to you? That's how important your life is to you, that you will not allow. No way. Your intentional, your purposeful life should be put in a posture, in an order of not cycling in anything that's destroying the self. Not destroying the mind, not destroying the heart, not destroying the spirit. It should not be allowed. And if you find yourself that, you know, one thing about change, it takes 21 days to push it off. Consistent change. And like if you, well, let's say, for example, I'll give you a structured program really quick. You wake up in the morning. The first thing you do a devotion if you choose. And then the next thing you do is choose a word for that day. Let's say I choose peace. So my word is peace. I am. You got to say I am. No, I'm not going to be. No, I think I am. No, I should have. Yeah. No, I am peaceful. When? Today. Today.
Today.
All right? Just for today, I am peaceful. Right? And so that peace that surpasses all understanding of your understanding should take you to a place where every single moment you're looking at peace. Anything that comes in your world, comes in your atmosphere, comes in your 360 degree, and it doesn't look like peace, oh, that's not mine. Because I am peaceful today. I don't care if someone says something derogatory to you, that's not mine. I am peaceful today because that's what I chose. I choose for my life. I chose for my life, and that's so important to you because self-independence, self-choice, self-decision leads to self-purpose, leads to self-destiny. There's no other way to do it. Every day you got to lay. You are the foundation. Listen to this. You are the foundation. Your foundation was laid before the foundation of the earth was laid. You know, the Creator knew you. He understood you. He knew what you were going to go through before you even thought about going through it, right? Okay, so you are the foundation. Every day you lay a block. You lay a brick. Now, be careful what kind of brick you lay.
What kind of bricks are you laying?
All right?
That's right.
Be careful what kind of brick. If you're going to lay a brick, let it be a brick that's going to benefit you, that's going to help you grow, that's going to help you expand.
Absolutely.
Every day you lay a block. Now, you are not allowed. I'm so sorry, it's not an option for you. I'm taking options. It's not an option for you to lay a brick that you know that's dysfunctional.
Yes.
Right? So if your habits are dysfunctional, you're going to have to change that.
You know, right? I think that the difficulty people have, especially if they grow up in dysfunction, is to recognize that it's dysfunction. Because, you know, if you grew up in it, then it's normal, even though it's dysfunction. So So that's the challenge. We got a couple of callers. Do you want to take one before the break?
I do, yes.
All
and
right.
Then I'm going to mention Dr. Woosley had another thought. I got you, Dr. Woosley. I'm so glad you joined us this
yes,
morning.
Yes, yes. Well, Eric.
We got Dr. Woosley back on.
Absolutely. Area code 706-202. Your mic is open. Go right ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green. And give us your name, where you're calling from.
Grand Rising and Assalamu Alaikum. This is Brother Kwame, and I'm calling you from DeKalb, Illinois. I'm up here visiting my mom. I'm taking her to the Apple Orchard this weekend.
Up here in Illinois, from the hurricane down south. All right.
Yep, and Debbie Green, and I commend you in helping us to understand some of the attributes that humans have that they have possibilities of correcting. It's something called helpless learning, and I know you're probably familiar with it. Helpless learning is what we're discussing because we come with all the possibilities that are given to us in the womb when we develop, but the part when we come out is that we began to learn helplessness or that part of self-loathing or that part of addiction. Traumas and environment have great effect on the human. And so what we're looking at is how do we become self-efficient? And these are the parts of what you're saying and using the right words. We say good morning as opposed to saying grand is a better word than good, and rising is better than the word morning. And so just changing those two words when you speak to someone, grand rising instead of saying good morning, it's a subliminal message. And these are programs that we have been given that we need to change. And we are what we think. And so it's all the possibilities are there in changing your thoughts, changes your possibility of what you will envision. Everything that you say in your head is yours, but what comes out of your mouth is ours that we have to deal with. So these are the challenges that we have as human beings now.
Let me chew on that for a minute. What's in your head is yours. What comes out of your mouth is ours.
That's right. That's what you're projecting. That's why it's so important to guard our tongue. You know, you guard your tongue to speak negative over yourself or anyone else because those words do have power. They have power in every aspect of themselves, and they will manifest, especially when they're spoken redundantly.
Yes.
If you speak something really redundantly and with a lot of emotion, you can guarantee that it is going to be definitely open.
And be careful what you speak over your children too, because you are their sponges absorbing everything. And the things that you say in frustration, and you're thinking, well, if I criticize them, then they're going to work harder to not to prove me wrong. That's usually not how it works. You told them they're stupid, they're no good, they're ignorant, they're hard-headed. You said that. They're not going to say, oh, let me work hard so I can prove it wrong. No, they're going to say, oh, I guess it's what I am. And
parents say, why are you so bad? Why do you keep doing the wrong things over and over? They got to understand that when you keep saying that to a child, it's just going to keep doing the same
thing. You're programming them to do the exact same thing you don't want them to do, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's extremely important to, again, to guard those cycling of thought as well as those words over our children because they can only be recreated as you create them.
Absolutely. Well, it's
time
for our last break. Thank you so much, Baba Kwame. Enjoy your time in Illinois and say hi to the folks. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in just one moment. So stay with us. And
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversations on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness / stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Our kids are the future and should not be left behind. One person should not decide what is the best for our 77 communities. Politicians must work together for our kids' best interests. They deserve a safe education with resources that meet every student need. Let's rebuild and restore Chicago. Vote for me for mayor of Chicago. I'm Dr. Willie Wilson, and I approve this message.
Paid for by Willie Wilson for mayor.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
About that is if you are in that situation and you find yourself in a relationship to the point where you don't have any control over yourself, okay, which means that you feel yourself being tugged, you've been emptying out, you've been giving, and don't seem to have any return, okay, you're caught up in a negative cycle. It's not that they don't realize it or what they're doing. No, you are caught up in a negative cycle. You have to set your boundaries. You have to set your limits. Because if you don't set limits and you don't set boundaries, again, you're going to deteriorate mentally and emotionally. And, you know, don't want that for you, neither does Naima. We want you to realize what you're doing and to stop what you're doing. And not be afraid to stop it. Some people are fearful of what someone else is going to say, what somebody else is going to do, or what's going to happen. No, that's not important. What's important is that you stop allowing yourself to stay in this excessive pain. Unnecessary. Suffering is real, y'all. Unnecessary. Suffering. You know? Let's see. I think... Dr. Eva Woolsley is watching on our Facebook. She had another comment here. I made it through where the enemy couldn't stand to face me or in a hurry to get out of my presence. Upon removing these breath taker from your life, prepare for the time in the wilderness to heal and gather the very best of you with God's will for your life. I am living very intentionally today. Oh, I love that. I love I am statements. You know, one thing, if you ever have a low self-esteem, go to YouTube and type in I am affirmations.
Yeah.
I guarantee if you listen to it at least one time a day for at least 30 days, your whole world will change.
Yeah, I think that's probably the biggest challenge. When you come out of a personal relationship, and I've seen it be devastating both to males and females, divorce. And, you know, one associate that I had was really devastated because, you know, she said, nobody in my family ever got a divorce. I mean, I made a vow to God and I couldn't keep my marriage. And, you know, she kept saying, I couldn't keep my marriage. And, you know, and she was doing a lot of self-blame and just feeling bad about herself, and you know, and then when she found out that her ex had remarried, you know, that devastated her. And you know, you talk about talking somebody off the ledge. I mean, I was with her the day that she found out her ex had remarried, and it was I mean, the crying was so intense. And, you know, I'm searching for the things to say. And I said, just because someone else finds someone that's more suited to where they are in their life, that doesn't mean there was anything wrong with you. Oh, doggone it. Oh. Can't believe this happened to me. So I was saying that it doesn't mean that there was anything wrong with you. It just was a matter of them choosing another path in life. But I think when we blame ourselves when a relationship ends and we don't see it as simply the ending of a connection with someone that may no longer have been in harmony, then we grieve the loss of a relationship. And an ending relationship may simply mean that you're going through a different cycle in your life, and it just may be time for that phase to end because you are evolving in another direction. So this is one of the things.
You have to go and ask yourself, you know, saying, oh, okay.
Yes. So
emotionally available for myself. I emotionally available for, you know, for the things that I've learned? You know, am I feeling my past? Some people get so numb, they don't even want to feel their past and learn from it. That's why we experience this thing called trauma. That's why we experience this thing called PTSD, because sometimes, you know, those memories seem so surreal. You see what I'm saying? Because some of that stuff was not all the way felt, released, and let go of. And the subconscious mind just holds on to it, and we cycle in that. It's a cycle. That's all it is. It's a cycling of thoughts. It's a cycling of feelings. And sometimes it's during in the middle of the night. Sometimes it's during the day. But these cycles are there to let us know something is not done. Something is not finished.
Yes.
You know? Yes. And so as we continue to live this thing called life, because it's, you know, it's just going to continue, you know. We often find, I also want to touch base on this before we end today.
Yeah, we got a couple of callers. I guess they have some brief comments or questions.
Gotcha. I'm only going to take 2 minutes here. In domestic and family violence, there's constant cycle, okay? Mm-hmm. Cycling of the same things over and over again until one person self-destructs because they can't take the pressure. Please be mindful if you know someone like that, or even if you are experiencing that yourself. Arguing, constantly going back and forth with people is not worth it. It's like when you can't see eye to eye to a person, if the relationship is unhealthy, let it go. Move on.
Yeah.
Don't wait until it intensifies to move on. Move on immediately. Immediately. You will see relationships that if they're not healthy, you're going to know. No, it's not that you need to compromise with it.
Right.
It's unhealthy. And you know it's unhealthy, so don't stay in them. Go ahead and take that call.
Yeah, you know, and like you say, sometimes people are afraid. It's like I'm used to this pain. I fear worse pain, and I'm willing to stay in this painful relationship rather than risk actually being in a relationship or having no pain. So my fear keeps me choosing to suffer. So I'm going to take you in this order, 773-977, 111, 111, and 312-671. I'm going to take you in this order, so be brief because you got other people. Okay, and 773-977.
Good morning to all. God bless everyone. We're all so blessed just to be here today. Thanks for the program. You know, I really feel that we have I was thinking about Elizabeth Taylor and all of her marriages. And I wonder, when did she ever learn or did she ever get over that pain, you know? I think she was divorced, 7 or 8 times?
Yeah.
So I just wondered about that. And then I found in life that when you really love someone, I don't care if they leave by death or by divorce or what have you. If you love someone, it's always there. I find that it never leaves. Okay, thanks. That's my comment for today. Love you all. This is Lois in Chicago.
Thank you, Lois.
Thank you.
Yeah, we see a lot of people that, and I think sometimes it's trying to find what love is when you know.
Yeah, that's all.
Again and again and again and again. And usually it's a cycle. You know, it's the same thing because what you're trying to find is within you and not in another person. And that's
correct.
That's a lesson. Sometimes you learn in life, sometimes you don't. Area code 111, 111, give us your name you're calling from and your question or comment.
Graham Lines is on a wonderful program as usual. Subjects on point. I was just going to know one thing. You know what's interesting is that there's like 5 different types of intimacy that people don't really even deal with. There's emotional intimacy, there's spiritual intimacy, there's intellectual intimacy. There's experiential intimacy, and then lastly, there's physical intimacy. But I think that traditionally, when people get in relationships, they're just kind of all over the place in terms of what they expect. I think that you shouldn't expect anything. Why not just connect and see where the connection goes? Too often, people try to take something that maybe doesn't fit all 5 categories and make it more than it is. It's just like you mentioned the lady who lost her husband, they broke up. He gets remarried and she's upset as if it was something she did wrong. But that's a misnomer in the first place. You know, you can meet people. Sometimes you outgrow them and you evolve. But one thing's for sure, it takes
two people every day to put their hand in to make the relationship work. If one person steps back and doesn't put their hand in, then you're missing something, because it takes more than one person to make it happen. But lastly, it just seems like to me, people get too possessive of each other. You know, love builds you up. You get with somebody and you make them better, that's going to make them more desirable to everybody else on the planet. So don't be surprised when all these people start bum rushing them because of how great they are. Just receive it and watch them grow. You all, as long as you all are growing together, then that's a blessing. But sometimes you're breaking that. There's nothing wrong with breaking off. But, you know, I was just going to say this lastly, just for men. Sometimes if you go into a relationship just solely to get sexual pleasure or whatever, how shallow is that? So then when you had any children and you don't have really any sort of other balance in the relationship, then what do you have? That's why it's not really a good idea. That's why I mentioned at the beginning there's five types of intimacy. People need to focus on something other than physical intimacy.
That's a good point, because you know what?
Animals never do that. Don't overdo it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's a very significant point you made. Thank you so much for that comment. And before I take the last caller, you know, maybe you can speak to that. What creates a situation where a person really doesn't know how to develop those other forms of intimacy? If somehow they've been conditioned to think that a relationship is sex, but then the other things don't develop, like intellectual or physical or spiritual. Well, they got the physical, but they don't have the intellectual. They don't have the emotional intimacy. They don't have any of the things that actually bring you together. And so the relationship doesn't last because all it was physical, but they didn't know how to develop those other things. What was maybe missing in their upbringing, the reason why they didn't know what spiritual intimacy feels like or emotional intimacy feels like? They don't know what that feels like, so they don't know how to develop that. What would you say, Dr. Debbie?
Well, again, it's all about the core concepts. You know, the core concepts of life mold the self-concepts of life, which is whatever you were exposed to as a child is pretty much how you're going to start off. Now, as time goes on, you will want to be inquisitive about life, which is learning more about yourself and about different types of things concerning life, you know, and that would take an inquisitive mind. But, you know, everyone doesn't have an inquisitive mind. You know, some people just go for what they know, and they stay in that tunnel vision. And as the caller said, that, you know, there's different types of intimacy. But the first intimacy that you need to have is the intimacy with yourself.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? The self-intimacy is extremely important, and that doesn't have anything to do with the physical. It's all spiritual.
Because
think about what intimacy really means. It means to have a thought, a feeling of empathy, as well as a sensuality of what was being felt, even in lovemaking or sex. You still have that's the physical body having this encounter, but then the mind and the heart has to be somewhere in it. I don't care if it's a cheap thrill, it's still got to be there. You see what I'm saying?
Mm.
So what am I saying to you? That as this person learns of themselves, see, we don't, in society today, we don't spend time with ourselves very seldom. And we, once to tell you a statistic, we can clearly see how many people, and you can ask them in your 24-hour day, how much time do you spend with yourself?
Mm.
That question right there, especially when I ask it, you know, with patients and clients, and they have to sit there and they say, you know what?
I don't. I don't spend any time myself. Because even when I'm alone, I keep noise going, the TV or something,
yes,
so I never really have
on
time on the phone, never with myself.
I'm watching the children.
Yeah.
I'm taking care of other family members. I'm going to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to school. So what
there's
does
no
that
time
mean? The majority of our intimacy is actually, you know, push outward. It's outward. We are so, as when they're so connected till we become disconnected.
Right. I got a question. I had a male associate that told me, well, you know, men, they're not emotionally tied to their sexuality. It's just, for them, it's just a physical act. They don't have feelings.
And they believe that this is the male way. You know, women are emotional, and they need to learn how to be less emotional. But men, they don't have feelings with their intimacy. It's just an act, you know, they enjoy. That's their belief. So where does a belief like that come from?
Go back to nurturing. It always goes back to nurturing.
So what
always.
If they did not have a nurturing mother or, you know, a nurturing father, you know?
Something was missing. It was either the maternal or the paternal. Something was missed. Because nurturing can come not just from a female. It can
also come from a male. Right.
Because nurturing from a male counterpart is like, you know, if it's, for example, if it's telling a girl child,
mm-hmm.
you know, your husband, because she's going to look at her father. Her father
as
is going to be
the
replica
right.
of what she thinks a man should be. So whatever he is, you know, now if he's an alcoholic and he beats her mother, okay, what she's going to do? She's going to rebel. She's not going to know what a man is supposed to be, so there's a good chance she'll fall in, you know, be promiscuous at first until she realizes what she's doing,
mm-hmm.
you know, hopefully, and not go into another, you know, some other type of addiction. Because promiscuous is just saying you have a sexual addiction. You do
right. You're trying to just, sex is like a drug, you know,
right.
to induce the endorphins in your body. Then,
right.
That's all.
So,
yeah.
So what I'm saying is that it goes back, all of it stems from the family, how we grew up. And as we are adults, we're supposed to become aware.
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to become aware and look at and, you know, be aware of ourselves, be aware of our needs, wants, and desires, and not look to another human being to fulfill those because they can't. They may start off looking like they're going to do, but I guarantee you somewhere in that relationship, be it 1 year or 50 years, they're not going to be able to do it. And we wonder how people stay together for long periods of time. Like one of my clients, she was married for 54 years. Now she just left her husband. 54 years.
Wow.
You know, and she just separated 54. From it and moved into
the house. That means she's been married long she's been single.
Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
That's a lifetime.
And it's because she's changed, of course. And
yeah.
Change is inevitable.
It happens.
You see what I'm saying? And if she feels that he's not there for her, you know, because she changed. And so now they can't see eye to eye. You see what I'm saying? So they exit. It's a broken marriage.
I mean, it happens. People grow apart, and you have a right to grow because you're here to grow. You hope that you choose somebody that grows with you, but sometimes you grow in different directions. And
exactly.
It happens. It doesn't mean that you did anything wrong. It just means you grew in a different direction. So the healthy thing is to allow a person to grow in their direction, and you allow yourself to grow in your direction, and it doesn't have to be a nasty divorce. Divorce don't have to be nasty. It doesn't have to be that's why they called it no-fault divorce. You know, we're not the same people we were when we got together, so we need to find people who are now fitting who we now are.
Right.
That's all.
Exactly.
So we got a couple more people that want to speak, so we're going to take you all quickly. We went to 671, got about a minute, and we got to take the next caller. Go right ahead with your question or comment for Dr. Debbie. Real quick.
Well, and Yashalom, Assalamu Alaikum, Brother Minister Plump from Chicago, Illinois. It takes a village to raise one child, and nobody can raise a kid. I'd just like to compliment you both, as well as the callers today, and being a part of Team 23. I is one, and
yeah.
M is four. And when you see, numbers don't lie. Anybody can lie. However, each person teach one. That's why we need the village. And then we have to reflect on building a relationship in a positive way with all the people. People for the P campaign, Dr. Debbie Green, you are on the campaign, Sister Naima, for Peace, Love, Unity Marketing People. And for more information, brothers and sisters can call me. Today is the day from 2 to 4 in Chicago at 312-671-2773. That's just a little preview of everybody can help stop the violence, robbing, stealing, and the killing, and the domestic violence. and help save the children, Minister Funk. We love you. God bless you, and keep up the good work, because you have discovered the most important person that is living, and that is each one teach one, and that is both of you. Thank you for being a part of Team 23-2.
Well, we appreciate you so much, and keep doing what you do as well.
Let me know when you are available to come on.
Yes, we're going to make that happen so you can tell your story. You know, wow.
Yes, we want to know.
We want to know. Inquiring minds want to know. So area code 407-701, I believe we've got our star of the microphone, Beata Grand Rising. Got about a minute before we got to wrap up. Go right ahead. Looking to see you tomorrow on the Female Solution.
Grand Rising. And I wanted to say to Minister Plump, if you come on early, I'll give you a chance to tell more of your story, because we love your story. Thank you, Minister Plump. And thank you, ladies. This has been an awesome, awesome discussion. You all are just bright lights today, and I was just taking notes. And so tomorrow, I know we don't have a lot of time, so tomorrow please join me on Health and Well-Being with Beata. It's Breast Awareness Month. They call it Breast Cancer Awareness in October, but I like to say Breast Health Awareness. So tomorrow, it's been on my mind to talk about healing our reproductive system, because the breasts are only part of a system of our reproductive cells. So that's what my topic will be. I had a guest for tomorrow, but she just sent me a text and said she got to cancel. So I'll be there anyway, rolling those joints, and please join me with your comments, questions, and just your love tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. right here on the Female Solution. Thank you, ladies. Have a beautiful day.
Thank you. I might have somebody who may want to substitute who's overcome breast cancer, so I'll see about her availability. But thank you
great.
So very much. Yes.
All right, thank you.
All right. Is there any more callers on there? Or that's it.
I think that is all who have pressed one. So we thank all of you all. Yes.
Okay, well, I was going to say these final words. Wherever you find yourself, examine yourself. Wherever you find yourself, examine yourself. You know, one thing about life, it gives us the good, the bad, and the extremely ugly. And it's only because, you know, we were here to learn. We're going through this life to learn. So if everything was perfect, you would never learn anything. If you never understood what pain was, you would not know what to do with it. If you understood what happiness is, you would not embrace it. So all of those things are for the betterment of your good. So if there's an area in your life that you feel like, I want to get rid of this thing, I never want to talk, embrace that thing, because it created you for who you are. It made you great. It made you wonderful. It made you take a second look at yourself and say, self, you better get it together, because you deserve to live the life that you were given to live. It may not have been all that glooming and gold or put on, you know, all the shingles of diamonds or whatever it may be, but guess what?
I'm still here.
That's what she said, and you know what, that day, and the color purple, that thing stuck with me. So whenever I go through something, I say, hey, I'm still alive. I'm still here. So be present in your life. Love yourself and love somebody else. And remember, you are the greatest asset to yourself.
All right.
Thank you, Facebook.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsahamnida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, Gracias. Italy, Grazie. Egypt, Shukran. Ghana, Medasi. Nigeria, Eshe. South Africa, Ngiyabonga. Senegal, Jerez. Kenya, Asante. Israel, Toda. Pakistan, Shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakor. Saudi Arabia, Shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.